الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول بقوله يهتدي المهتدون. Honorable ulama, respect elders and brothers in Islam, we know that we are at the moment, Islamically, we are in the month of Sha'ban, and we are literally on the doorstep of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Now the talks normally before the month of Ramadan, the Jummas, the big night talks, are all centered around the month of Ramadan and preparation regarding the month of Ramadan. We know with regard to the preparation, one is a preparation that the women folk are doing at home, as far as the savories, as far as the samosas and all those are concerned. First, we don't complain, we say Alhamdulillah, because we are the one who will be benefiting. And their intention is that they are preparing for Ramadan with all the savories and whatever else it might be, so that they can free themselves more to make more of the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam anticipated the month of Ramadan and waited for it and made dua for it 2 months before the month of Ramadan had commenced. And we always hear this dua, Allahumma barik lana fi rajaba wa sha'ban wa balighna ramadan. O Allah, grant us barakah, blessings in the month of Rajab, the month of Sha'ban, and O Allah, let us reach the month of Ramadan. So 2 months before Ramadan it commenced, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua for barakah and blessings in the month of Sha'ban, Ramadan, and making dua that we reach the month of Ramadan. Anyway, regarding the month of Sha'ban, this is also a blessed month. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once was asked by Sahaba radiallahu anhum regarding the month of Sha'ban. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the month of Sha'ban is a month in which some people are negligent of the virtues and significance of this month. Why? It is between two blessed months, two sacred and special months, the month before it, the month of Rajab, and the month after, the month of Sha'ban, the month of Ramadan. Rajab is one of the four Ashhurul Hurum, one of the four sacred months, and Ramadan obviously the month of fasting. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sometimes people are negligent regarding the virtues of the month of Sha'ban. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged few things in the month of Sha'ban. One is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged that a person keep as much nafil fast as possible. Aisha radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Sha'ban, he would fast the entire month except the last few days of the month of Sha'ban. The second thing our pious predecessors, they would do, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also increased, is in the tilawat of Quran. Why? The month of Ramadan is the month of Quran, but the month of Sha'ban is the month in which we increase our tilawat of Quran, so that before the month of Ramadan commences, we are already in the mode. We are already used to making tilawat of Quran, used to reading Quran. We find that one of the greatest commentators of hadith, Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi, He had compiled the greatest commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari named Fathul Bari. He was a scholar and alim of the 8th and 9th century of Islam. He had passed away in 852 after Hijrah. Anyway, in his commentary of Bukhari Sharif, he mentions the words of Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. That Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he describes Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and the Tabi'een, those people who came after Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So he says, كَانَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ إِذَا دَخَلَ الشَّعْبَانِ إِذَا دَخَلَ الشَّعْبَانِ أَكَبُّ عَلَى الْمَصَاحِفِ وَأَدُّ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَخْرَجُ الزَّكَاةَ. He would say that the Muslims, Anas radiallahu anhu is saying, he's a senior sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying that the Muslims of that time, meaning time of Sahaba, time of Tabi'in, they were such that once the month of Sha'ban had commenced, then two things they would dedicate themselves to, that akabbu ala al-masahifi, they would dedicate themselves to the Quran, to the tilawat of Quran, before the month of Ramadan is commencing. And the second thing very important is, the wa akhraju zakata, they would take out their zakat. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum, their habit was to take out zakat in the month of Sha'ban. And in the commentary, Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah, he mentions the reason for this is that so that the poor Muslims, they can prepare themselves for their necessities for sehri and iftar before the month of Ramadan commences. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, many people are in the habit of taking out zakat in the month of Ramadan. And one of the main reasons is because a fard in the month of Ramadan, the reward of it is multiplied 70 times, 7,000%, without any reduction, without any taxes, without anything, without any reduction whatsoever. So that intention people are taking out in the month of Ramadan, which is commendable. But Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they were such that they would take out this zakat in this month of Sha'ban, so that the poor Muslims, the poor families, they can prepare themselves, they can buy their necessities before the month of Ramadan commences. So the advice of our ulama and mashayikh is, if you're taking out your zakat in the month of Ramadan, well and good, but let us take out some amounts, a bit at least in the month of Sha'ban, and look for the poor families, poor Muslims, amongst our own family members firstly, and in our own communities, and let us give them and help them before the month of Ramadan commences. Just few important masail I just mentioned regarding the month of, regarding zakat itself. Few masail. Firstly, zakat can only be given to a Muslim. It's not permissible for a person to give zakat to a non-Muslim. Yes, other forms of charity a person can give to a non-Muslim. Secondly, many people ask regarding zakat to family members. So in a nutshell, there are only three categories of family members which it is impermissible to give zakat to. Only three categories. One is one's ascendants, meaning one's parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, you can't give them zakat. Secondly, one's descendants, one's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, a person cannot give zakat to. And the third category is one's spouse, meaning a husband cannot give zakat to his wife, wife cannot give zakat to her husband. But any other category of family members, if they are zakatable, meaning worthy recipients of zakat, then it is preferable to give them zakat. Meaning, example, even one's brothers and sisters, one's uncles, one's aunts, grand uncles, grand aunts, nephews, nieces, all these type of family members, it is more commendable if they are really poor zakat recipients to give zakat to them. So much of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person who spends on his or her family members, then they get double reward. One is the reward of charity, and secondly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person gets the reward of upholding and family ties and joining family ties. One last masala I mentioned regarding zakat is the masala regarding tamlik. Tamlik is one of the conditions of zakat. Tamlik means the Arabic word, which means that making a specific individual the owner of the zakatable wealth. Making a specific individual the owner of zakat wealth. So that wealth or sometimes commodity, it has to be given to a certain individual. Where the masala comes about is, it's not permissible for a person to give zakat to the masjid for the expenses of the masjid, or even a person to take zakat money and build a masjid, or build a madrasa, build a darul ulum, or use zakat money to build even a well, or use zakat money to build an Islamic school. Or in a similar way, it's not permissible for a person to use zakat money for the burial, for the janazah, kafan and dafal expenses of a person who has passed away. In a similar way, it's not permissible as well for a person to buy food and leave it on the dastarkhan. Leave it on this, buy food with zakat money and leave it on the dasturkhan and invite people to come partake of it. Why? Because no specific individual has been made the owner of that specific amount of food. Yes, if a person wants, he can do this, then with zakat money buy some food, maybe food hampers or even cook food and put it into a container, into a tupperware, whatever it might be, and give it to a specific individual. If you do that and you give it to the specific individual, then if that person is a worthy recipient of zakat, then the zakat will be regarded to be fulfilled. But just buying food and just leaving it on the dasturkhan and allowing anyone to just come eat from there, the zakat will not be fulfilled in this way. Yes, if you give that person that food, example, that polystyrene container, whatever it might be, and he shares it with others after taking possession of it, then that will be permissible. In a similar way, it's not permissible for a person to use zakat money use it to make halim and just distribute it amongst all the Muslims. So that's not permissible, because some people might be taking, some who are taking from there might be worthy recipients of zakat and some might not be worthy recipients of zakat. So therefore a person has to be very, very cautious regarding this. Yes, example, if a person takes zakat money and without placing a condition, you gave it to a certain individual and that person maybe decides to buy some food and feed others, including his family, friends, whoever it might be. Or you give some person a zakat money without laying down any condition, and that person now takes it and he contributes it willingly without being forced to the masjid, to the madrasa, to the darul ulum, then yes, your zakat will be fulfilled. These are just some of the masail of zakat. Regarding zakat, we have to be extra cautious nowadays as well. And if we do not know the masail, the fine intricate laws regarding zakat, then alhamdulillah, there is multiple ulama, imams in our areas. Let us find out from them, because zakat is one of the pillars of Islam, and zakat is something which is farz. And many a times, what happens is, a person is giving a certain, maybe family member or a woman, zakat. Many a times, women folk come to our businesses, and maybe come to our homes as well. They say that we want a zakat, help us. And a person feels sorry and gives it to them. Now, if a woman does not have any physical cash with her, but it happens many women folk, even in our families, in our communities, they got jewelry. So they got gold and silver jewelry, which is more than the nisab amount. That nisab amount is that amount of money by means of which zakat becomes farz on a person. If a person got that amount, he cannot receive zakat. So they got gold and silver, which is more than the nisab amount. Maybe they got it from their grandparents or their parents. Their mother gave them some gold jewelry, and it's worth more than the nisab amount, about 12,000 there nowadays. Now that woman, she might not have any cash on her, but still it will not be permissible to give that woman zakat. Why? Because the jewelry which she possesses in her ownership is worth, it is more than the threshold of zakat, the nisab amount. That woman can be advised that your jewelry, rather go give it to your daughter, or give it away, or sell it and use the money. And once you got less than the nisab amount, the zakat threshold, then it'll be permissible for you to receive zakat. Anyway, the month of Sha'ban, we mentioned, is a month of tilawat of Quran. Why tilawat of Quran actually has to be started before the month of Ramadan? Once the month of Ramadan commences, thereafter a person should increase in their tilawat of Quran. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed. In fact, not only the Quran, but all other divine scriptures, or most other divine scriptures, were also revealed in the month of Ramadan as well. Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan is that month in which the Quran was revealed. It was revealed from the Lawi Mahfuz, the protected tablet in the heavens, to Sama'ud Dunya, the heaven above the earth. And thereafter, over a period of 23 years, piecemeal, bit by bit, the Quran, different ayats reveal upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over a period of 23 years. In fact, the other scriptures as well, the Suhuf Ibrahim, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, the sahifas and the booklets given to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was also revealed on the first of Ramadan to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In a similar way, the Torah revealed to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was revealed on the weeks of Ramadan, the Zabur, the Psalms to Ibrahim, to Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, was also revealed on the 11th of Ramadan. The Injil revealed to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was revealed on the 13th of Ramadan. And the noble Quran was revealed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam on the 24th of Ramadan. So our pious predecessors, the ibadat which they dedicated themselves to most in the month of Ramadan was tilawat of Quran. Yes, obviously dua is there, ihtikaf is there. Obviously a person is fasting. The tarawiyah salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned, man qama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaba, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Whoever stands up in ibadat, in salah, at night in the month of Ramadan, with iman, believing in Allah, and wahtisaban, hoping for reward from the side of Allah Ta'ala, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all this person's sins shall be forgiven from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. I'm mentioning a few examples. One of the great tabi'een, his name was Aswad bin Yazid rahmatullah alayhi. He had passed away in the 75th year after Hijrah. The famous children of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, passed away in the 32nd year after Hijrah. So Aswad rahmatullah alayhi, that every 2 days in the month of Ramadan, he would make one khatam of Quran, meaning about 15 paras, 15 juz every day. Another great tabi, Qatada rahmatullah alayh, his habit was that throughout the year, he would make a khatam of Quran once every week, approximately one manzil every day. So one khatam of Quran every 7 days. When the month of Ramadan would commence, he would make a khatam of Quran every 3 days. You would make a khatam of Quran every 3 days. And in the last 10 days of the Mubarak month of Ramadan, you would make one khatam a day. One khatam a day. In a similar way, very famously, it is mentioned regarding Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. I mentioned examples of the tabi'in, Imam Shafi and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Abu Hanifa, every day in the month of Ramadan, they would make two khatams of Quran, one every day, one every night. So they would make approximately 60 khatams of Quran in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And one of the great Tabu Tabi'i, Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayh, Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, he had passed away in the 123 after Hijrah, just before Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He was such, it is mentioned regarding him, إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانَ قَالَ. When the month of Ramadan would commence, Imam Zuhri rahmatullah would mention, فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَإِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامِ. He said, the only thing I'm involving myself in is in tilawat of Quran and feeding people. Feeding people is also a great ibadat in the month of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ فَطَّرَ سَائِمًا. Whoever provides some food, so that a fasting person can break their fast. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, firstly, Allah Ta'ala shall forgive the sins of this person. Secondly, Allah Ta'ala shall emancipate and free this person from the fire of Jahannam. And thirdly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you will also get the reward of the fast of that person without that person's reward being lessened or diminished in any way. Sahaba said, oh Rasulullah, every one of us cannot afford to provide a full meal for a fasting person at the time of iftar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a person even provides one khajur, one date by means of which a person can break their fast, or even a sip of milk, or a sip of water as well, by means of which a person can break their fast, Allah Ta'ala will also give them this reward. Allah Ta'ala will also bless them with this reward. In fact, amongst the highest that I've read of any person's tilawat in the month of Ramadan was a person by the name of Abu Abbas bin Atta rahmatullah alayh. He was the famous murid of Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. It is mentioned regarding him that every day in the month of Ramadan, he would make 3 khatams of Quran. Every day in the month of Ramadan, 3 khatams of Quran. So for a 30-day month, 90 khatams of Quran. But it didn't just start overnight. Their habit throughout the year was to make one khatam of Quran. So in the month of Ramadan, they tripled it, 3 khatams of Quran every day in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. In the recent past, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, you know, he passed away in 1982. His last i'tikaf was also in our country in 1981. He mentioned as well in his biography that he was such, by the way, it is mentioned that for 42 years in the month of Ramadan, every single day he would make one khatam of Quran. Every single day he would make one khatam of Quran for 42 years. On one occasion, he advised his mureedin, his disciples, to try and make 61 khatams of Quran. One every day, one every night, and one in Taraweeh Salah. And after the month of Ramadan, he took karguzari from them. He asked them for a report back. So Hazrat Ji, Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullahi, he said, Alhamdulillah, this Ramadan, I managed 61 khatams of Quran. One every day, one every night, and one in Taraweeh Salah. Other of his mureedins of Hadith Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullahi mentioned that they finished 50, many finished 60, and some even finished 56 khatams of Quran. And Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullahi, this is an encouragement for our women folk as well. He writes in Fazail Amal as well, regarding the women folk in his household. He said that the women folk in my home, despite all their domestic responsibilities of cooking, of cleaning, of seeing to the children, Alhamdulillah, he says that I praise Allah and I'm proud that the women folk of my house finish between half and two thirds of a Quran every day. Meaning between 15 and 20 paras, between 15 and 20 juz every single day. And they say that besides the night they spend listening to Quran behind the huffaz of the house. Most of the night they spend in Taraweeh Salah listening to the Quran being recited by their grandsons in Salah. And Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, his dadi, his paternal grandmother, he writes regarding her that she was a hafiza. She was a hafiza and her habit every day was to finish 40 paras of Quran. One khatam in 10 paras extra. And he says besides that, she would make 17,000 tasbihat, dhikr every day. 40 paras of Quran every day and 17,000 different azkar, different zikr, different tasbihat every single day. And he mentions regarding his father's nani. He said his father's nani, she wasn't a hafiz of Quran, but at nights she would spend time behind her grandsons, them taking turns listening to Quran. And one of her grandsons, his name was Maulana Rauful Hassan Rahmatullah Ali. On one night, she listened to the entire Quran in one rakat of salah behind one of her grandsons. Subhanallah. This is the recent past. And I'll end with this last karguzari. Alhamdulillah, even in today's time as well, there are certain individuals, huffaz of Quran and ulama, who are making one khatam of Quran every night. One of my very close friends, he has a habit of every single day, minimum 5 paras a day throughout the year. And in Ramadan, because I asked him and we are close friends, he mentioned in Ramadan, he sleeps 3, maximum 4 hours a day throughout the month. And the entire day and night he spends tilawat of Quran. So I asked him two or three years ago, like this year after Ramadan, I asked him, this year how many khatams? So he said, Bifadlillah, bada, the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this year I finished 66 khatams of Quran. These are people who are still living amongst us. Of today's time, not talking about Sahaba, Tabi'in, etc. In today's time, he mentioned, I finished 66 khatam of the Quran. I asked him how. He said that every day one khatam, every night one khatam, and in Taraweeh Salah, every night 6 paras. He reading himself, 6 paras. So 66 khatams of Quran. Another friend of ours, a student of mine as well, is not a hafidhul Quran. Not a hafidhul Quran, but his habit every single day throughout the day is to read 5 paras of Quran. Not a hafidhul Quran. And in the month of Ramadan, he's a chartered accountant. But he spends very less time at work, the rest of the time devoted to tilawat of Quran. So a few years ago, I asked him on Eid day, how many khatams this year? Non-hafiz. He said, Alhamdulillah, this year 43 khatams of Quran. So about 43 paras every single day they are reciting. These are people amongst us. I am mentioning this as inspiration for ourselves. The minimum a person should try in the month of Ramadan to finish one khatam of Quran. If a person reads one para a day, or 6 pages after every salah, 6 pages of Quran after every salah, then a person will make one khatam of Quran at least in the month of Ramadan. Unfortunately, some people are such, whatever reason it might be, because of their weakness, a person does not know how to read Quran. Some people are such, maybe they are revert Muslim, but they never went to madrasa. They don't know how to make tilawat of Quran. So our advice for them is let's take that first step by maybe learning part one, part two, starting to learn Alif, Ba, Ta, Tha, and learn to recite Quran. And if we cannot do that immediately, then at least if we're there for Taraweeh Salah every night, if we're there for Taraweeh Salah every night in one masjid, then the minimum is we'll get to listen to the entire Quran being recited in Taraweeh Salah. We make dua to Allah that Allah Ta'ala lets us prepare spiritually for the month of Ramadan before it commences. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.